If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl bringing you the only local call-in radio show exclusively for older adults and caregivers. What should you expect to your age? A lot. And that's what we're here to explain. I'm happy to have with me today Mr. Charlie Ferguson, a member of the 1964 championship Buffalo Bills, and Mr. Ray Hamill, a terrific physical therapist with Buffalo Rehab Group, to talk about sports and aging. We also have a student of Ray's here today, Scott. If you'd like to put in a few words, that's okay too. I came across the following quote recently. They don't live to exercise, they exercise to live. Charlie, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be a Buffalo Bill and what you think about that?
I actually started in Texas, Galveston, Texas, with my high school career. And from there, I moved to Tennessee State and a very successful program there in sports, along with academics. I was in school with a few Olympians, Wilma Rudolph, which is a good name, Ralph Boston. And from there, I went to the Cleveland Browns. And my first year, I had the experience of getting with the Browns at the time of 1961 and had the opportunity of playing with the greats, Bobby Mitchell, Jim Brown, Ray Renfro, and just a number of excellent athletes.
And that's because you showed them everything you knew, right?
Well, they were tremendous help to me. I didn't know anything. You know, when you first go there, you think you know a lot, but you find out you don't know as much as you really think. Now, I'm on the board of directors with Meals on Wheels and St. Augustine Center, which is a family service type center.
Ray, what can you tell us about yourself, and what do you think about the quote about living to exercise or exercising to live?
Well, my name's Ray Hamill. I'm a physical therapist at Buffalo Rehab Group. You know, my life hasn't been going on for as long as Charlie's, so I don't have quite as many stories to tell. But
or mine, for that matter.
But he does serve as a good role model for all of us. Anyway, I got into the field of physical therapy because I feel like it's a good way for me to help people, you know, apply some knowledge that I've learned along the way, and I can help others stay doing things that they like to do and just try to improve the quality of people's life in general.
Well, I want to take the first half of this show and kind of stick to football, and we can branch out from there a little bit, but I did a little research, and I came across a summary of different types of football injuries that can happen. Some of these I had never heard of. From head to toe, this is what I came up with. Concussions, spine injuries, burners or stingers, fractures, a hip pointer, that was new for me, torn cartilage and ligaments, sprains and strains, Achilles tendonitis, ankle sprains, and down to the toe, turf toe. Were injuries then as much a part of the game as they are now, and what happened to you on the field that you feel still affects you to this day?
First, I played on natural turf. Today, the guys play on the AstroTurf, which is very fast, and you got these guys now. A big guy was considered 275, 280. When I played today, I think that individual would be too small to play on the offensive line.
Because
those guys are everything over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
We did not have all of the terminology that you just called, the turf toe and things of that nature, but we did experience some of the injuries. And the big thing I see today, Doctor, as medicine technology continue to advance, recovery time is very important for professional athletes or any athlete. The athletes, the quarterbacks, they take a lot of pounding and hitting their heads on that hard turf out there. But the helmets have improved tremendously.
Also, you mentioned the players are bigger, too, so
yeah,
you have more weight coming
and,
at you.
They're much faster, the impact.
Do you think the game itself is more pounding-oriented as opposed to finesse-oriented than it may have been 40 years ago?
Sometimes you can look at these guys. They're very small guys. You say, how the heck can they take it? But they have to be tough mentally and physically. But if you're not in condition and not ready for it, you're going to suffer. The game of professional football is extremely fast. It's amazing how these big guys can move out there.
Right.
And if you just get close to the field and just see what's going on, you'll be impressed to just see how these guys can move. It's amazing to me how medicine has just continued to improve and patch up these guys and get them right back out there at the surgery. During my era, I mean, they give you a long cut on your knee for ligament problems. And you were just about through for that season. But now, you know, unless you had some cartilage problems, they could get you back in about 6 weeks or a month. But today, with the arthroscopic type surgery,
right,
they don't have to go
like
for
that.
The long cut. They give a put a couple of holes in your knee.
And they go poking around with a scope.
Right. And in 4 weeks, you're back out there in tip-top shape.
I had a little piece of cartilage taken out of my joint. It's amazing what a tiny little piece of something in there can make you miserable, let alone a professional football injury. So what injuries did you have when you were playing?
What I had during my era, college, I was very lucky. If I can go back there, I had a lot of pounding on my knees because I was going both ways, defense and offense. Hmm. And then backs trying to block on me when I was on defense. I always had a lot of fluid on my knees. Injuries in professional football, the first injury that I experienced was my third year. And that really did not come from the game of football itself. It was an off season in Cleveland playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up for a rebound and fell on a guy's ankle and twist my ankle.
Uh-huh.
And then I developed calcium deposit. And I had like a pinching sensation at times. And I had my other ankle, and it was kind of twisted in the radius where my foot was going one way.
Mm.
And Dr. Garfield had to go in, and he said, put C-clamps and everything. But those were the two major injuries.
Oh, you were lucky then. You were very lucky.
I was. And I think I mentioned to you guys earlier, I had gone to the doctor today because the injury is still giving me some problem. And I say that because rehabbing is very important. If you have to do it, do it. Be patient and do it and work at it. And I think I shortchanged myself by not doing the rehab that I should have done. I felt so good after, I didn't think it was necessary.
Well, we talked about how that's somewhat like high blood pressure. If people feel good, they don't understand why they need to be taking their medication.
Correct.
Or if they take an antibiotic and they're supposed to take it for 7 days or 10 days, and they feel better after 3 days, they stop it, and then the problem comes back. So, Ray, what do you see in the office as far as injuries that occurred earlier in life and that people have to deal with now when they're older?
Yeah, I think that frequently what I hear is from people, they're telling me about their current pain issues. You start talking to them a little bit more, and these old injuries start coming up in their history.
Well, Charlie mentioned the calcium deposits in his ankle that had developed. Do you see things like that now are causing people problems?
There's a lot of those types of things that, as a physical therapist, we don't necessarily see, only because we don't order and assess diagnostic imaging, such as x-rays and MRIs, but we hear more about the pain complaints from people and see how it changes.
So, and certainly with arthritis developing potentially as people get older and with a pre-existing problem, that's going to make the arthritis seem even worse.
Yeah, definitely. I hear from patients all the time, and they'll say that they just don't understand because their right knee hurts, but the doctor told them that their left knee looked much worse on the x-ray.
And that goes along with the story I like to tell about older patients in general, that you have pain and you might attribute it to aging, but you have pain on one side and not the other, but both joints are the same age. So you can't just attribute it to age. And we're talking about different possibilities. Old injuries, be it sports injuries or traumatic injuries, if someone was in a car accident years ago. Happened to meet a former Buffalo Bill 20 years ago in my training, and his knees were shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine knees are a big joint that's affected, especially in professional sports. What can you tell us about knees and what you see in older people as far as what's happened to their knees?
Your knees should definitely be able to straighten out completely. If it cannot, it's going to affect your gait. You'll walk with a noticeable limp and those types of things. Other common changes in knees, as simple as difficulty with ascending or descending stairs, squatting, and kneeling.
A normal older adult who does not have old injuries, arthritis changes, should be able to do all those things, should be able to straighten their leg out. So if someone finds one day that they're not able to straighten their leg out or they have pain, they shouldn't just say, well, it goes with aging.
Yeah, that's correct. That's in most cases, that's a very correctable thing.
And what are the techniques to help something like that?
Yeah, a professionally managed exercise program that would be prescribed by a physical therapist would typically include some stretching exercises along with some type of conditioning exercise, which could oftentimes be melded right into a cardiovascular training program, such as swimming or cycling or something along those lines. You know, we try to tailor the programs to their needs.
In the second half, I want to get into some simple things that people can do at home. But,
can I just say something?
Yeah.
Kind of go back to what your question was to Ray. Some of the things that I see today, as far as professional athletes, the older guys, they are replacing knees now. Guys get their cartilage so bad, and that bone-to-bone contact is definitely not good. The other thing, replacing hips. A lot of professional athletes are replacing the hips. So a lot of replacement of the bones and the joints are becoming a big thing now.
That's very important to bring up. I have a patient of mine that was an avid skier, and his hip problems were holding him back. He went through a hip replacement surgery, and he did great.
Right.
And he's back to skiing. So there's no specific age where after that age, someone can't have a particular surgery to relieve pain and to increase function.
Right.
Other keys here. No one wants to suffer pain. Medications can help, but it can also cause more problems.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Now, our station engineer, Mr. Jimmy, he wanted to tell us a little bit about his ankle injury and his organ playing and how that's affecting him.
Unfortunately, I received an injury on the job, and I slipped on some ice and slipped up against my car and broke my left ankle in three places. So I have two little pins that hold the small bones together. I play the organ for the church, and I didn't want to lose that ministry. So it takes determination. You got to want to do it, you know, suffer the pain. Then I found out about MSN, which is it's a sulfur substance, and it's good. It's naturally occurring in the body, but you can get extra to help out those injuries. And I've been kind of pain-free because of MSN. And my just sheer determination to try to overcome the injury.
So your hands, are they holding up playing?
Hands are holding up pretty good too.
Playing the organ?
Yeah. I had several sprains in from playing just pick up basketball and football, you know. But I've been able to keep that basically because it's just staying active. I think the more you stay active, the more you have a better chance of recovering.
Now, Ray, what's your experience with people playing piano and hand injuries?
Yeah. Ironically enough, the piano players that I've worked with in the past, it's usually more of an issue with maintenance of posture more than actually operating their hands or feet. If you think about what you're doing, you're sitting on a bench usually without any back support for an extended period of time.
Ray, you also mentioned violin, that violin players develop neck problems.
What we've recommended in the past for those types of complaints is really just a good comprehensive stretching program and a strengthening program to offset the postural imbalance that's created by their recreational activity.
One of the things that I've experienced is that if you do not warm up properly, you can develop some type of injury. It's important to stretch a lot also. And as I get older, it requires more and more stretching and more time of warming up.
How do you know when you're ready to go?
Well, I think the way you feel. Your body warms up. When you can warm up in your body, you feel good. I think you know that when you're ready. You know your body.
Ray, what's your experience with golfers, older golfers?
As people age, they tend to lose mobility.
Right.
And when you look at golf, it's such a large movement. So if there's any flaw in that system, it's sure going to be brought out with a golf swing.
Right.
So kind of like what Charlie was saying there, the more limbered up you can be, the more range of motion you're going to offer your body.
I think it's important to really start developing a program for yourself that you do daily exercises. Because going out in the spring, I think you can overdo it if you're not in condition.
Let's talk about walking, jogging, hiking. How can we best prepare to do that safely?
The number one thing I would say is stretch out your calves. Right? You're going to start right from the ground up on a much better foundation that way. You could imagine how if you have your feet and ankles squared away underneath you, that it's going to help everything else, knees, hips, lower back, up along the line.
So what's the best way to stretch out your calf muscle?
The most common way would be just to lean up against a solid surface such as a wall or a countertop and have one foot well behind you, maintain the heel on the floor, and then shift your body mass forward. We try to get people up to sort of a critical speed for them, given their leg length. And, you know, I always use the analogy of a coin on edge. And if you think of trying to roll a coin and keep it up on edge, you're not going to roll it slowly, you're going to roll it quickly. Moving with pace actually makes you safer.
It's a great analogy, John, except you need to know how to stop safely.
You know, you shouldn't go out and for the first time expect to walk 2 miles because you read in a magazine that that's correct. Typically, you know, I'd be much happier having somebody walk 5 or 10 minutes at a good pace rather than half an hour but really struggling along.
Why don't we just touch on, before we get into swimming and a couple of other things, why don't we touch on the importance of nutrition?
One of the things I try to do is maintain a lot of fruit on a daily basis and try to eat as much green vegetables as possible. No breads. I usually do skim milk. I don't use the regular 2% of the regular milk. And those things seem to help me, but you have to exercise along with the diet that you're on.
Well, I think you're also saying that as we get older, our organs change. If you're still smoking out there, you have to stop. I don't really feel there's any magic potion out there that if someone eats a well-balanced diet, Any other tips?
People don't bounce back from exercising as quickly, probably due to dehydration. Sleep deprivation is also a huge issue for people, especially people in pain.
We're coming to a close, but let's just talk about swimming a little bit. A lot of people enjoy swimming, and it provides very good exercise. What do you have to say about swimming?
From professional experience, we get a lot of use out of the pool, especially in cases where we want to minimize joint stress. Your typical arthritic patient is going to really appreciate being in the pool where you can take away close to 70% of their body mass.
We're going to shift to tennis very quickly, and this is for my parents who are active tennis players down in Florida. So, and they listen to my show when I get it up on the web, either at night or the next day. What do you have to say for tennis players?
To play tennis at a high level, you really need to be on a comprehensive stretching program.
Yeah, and I think the average tennis player, and I know I have tended to do this, don't try to be a hero. You know, act your age when it comes to sports. Okay, we're going to have to wrap up. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much, Mr. Charlie Ferguson. That was wonderful. Mr. Ray Hamill for joining me today, and Scott for looking in. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. I'll see you then.
The Station of the Nations, AM 1270. WHLD, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, New York, a Citadel Broadcasting Communications Station. Sunday mornings.